You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. For many people in the Bay Area, the holidays aren't complete without a big meal of fresh Dungeness crab. The commercial season was supposed to begin on November 15th, just in time for Thanksgiving. But this year, fishermen had to wait a month to set their traps. Late starts have been more common in recent years, and every day of missed fishing can cost the crab industry thousands of dollars. This year, the delay is because of a big lawsuit and big whales. Crab season opened just a few days ago, and KALW's Angela Johnston was down at the docks as the boats came in. She joins me now in studio to tell us more. Hey, Angela.
Hi.
So tell me about the beginning of the crab season.
Well, so far, it's been off to a good start, despite some pretty major challenges to starting in the first place. Mm-hmm. I was on the docks as the boats were coming in on Monday night, and it was really cool to see. Usually, Fisherman's Wharf is full of tourists, and you don't kind of go behind that front area. Mm-hmm. But that night, there was a different kind of liveliness.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a Saturday afternoon at Fisherman's Wharf.
Right. I walked out on the pier toward the Golden Gate Bridge and saw tons of white little dots on the bay, and they were actually crab boats coming in to unload their first catch of crab. Mm-hmm. They were literally lining up along the pier like a boat traffic jam, and workers were pulling up buckets overflowing with crab.
Wow. And so did you talk to any fishermen?
Yeah, I was there to meet fisherman John Meller. He texted me when his boat was nearby and told me to show up around 9:45. And I actually met John a few days earlier out by the docks, the day before the season was supposed to start. The boats were ready to go, basically filled to the max with crab traps.
My boat's called the High Hopes, and it's 40 feet long. And I currently have 97 traps aboard, which is about as much as I can put safely on there.
And Hana, can you picture what a crab trap looks like?
Maybe a net with, like, teeth at the end that just, like, close into each other? I don't know.
Sort of. They're big round cylinders with mesh on all sides with little entrances so the crab can get in, but they can't get out.
Uh-huh.
And they have colorful ropes attached to them and bright orange and blue buoys. Mm. And they aren't small. Remember, John had 97 of them. So I wasn't even sure how more than one person could be on board these boats. But all the boats down there at the wharf were like this because fishermen were just so anxious to get out. They'd mm-hmm. been delayed a month, and each day that they're not fishing is a huge loss of income.
And this isn't the first time the crab season has been pushed back, right?
Yeah, no, it's not. Back in 2015, the fishery was closed for over 5 months because of something called domoic acid. It's a neurotoxin that can travel up the food chain brought on by algal blooms. Mm-hmm. And that year was a disaster for many fishermen. And then the next year, domoic acid prompted more delays. This year, the delay has to do with whale entanglements.
Whale entanglements. Explain.
Whale entanglements and bureaucracy. Mm. So a few years ago, an environmental group sued the Department of Fish and Wildlife. That's the agency that issues crab fishing permits. Mm-hmm. And they sued Fish and Wildlife because whales were getting caught in crab fishing gear, those long ropes attached to the buoys and crab traps.
Right.
Crab traps sit on the ocean floor with lines that reach to the surface.
Okay. And is this a new thing that whales are getting caught in the crab lines?
It's kind of a new thing, actually. Whales typically feed on krill far out in the ocean.
Right.
But recently, they've been coming in closer to shore where crab traps are.
Why? Why are they coming in closer?
Well, it's connected to climate change. And it really started in 2014, the same year as the domoic acid poisoning in crabs. Mm-hmm. Do you remember hearing about the big, warm blob, the ocean blob?
Yeah, it was that big marine heat wave on the West Coast.
Yeah, and so that year the blob changed the food supply of whales migrating north. It started to kill off krill, so the whales came in closer to shore to eat anchovies. Mm. In 2015, there were over 60 confirmed whales caught in different kinds of fishing gear. And even when the ocean cooled and the blob didn't return, the whales kept swimming closer to shore and closer to all the crab gear. Mm-hmm. In 2016, there were 71 whale entanglements, the highest on record caught in fishing lines.
Wow.
And nearly a quarter were from crab gear.
Okay, so the environmentalists sued Fish and Wildlife.
Yeah, and the department settled. Part of the agreement said that the season will end earlier and is subject to a later start, like it did this year, mm-hmm. if there are whales in the area, so fishermen can avoid setting their traps when whales come closer to shore to feed. Mm-hmm. And if entanglements continue, that could have major consequences for the industry. Here's fisherman John Meller.
And if it says, you know, one or two entanglements means you close the entire season, then there's no way a person can stay in business. We'd all have to quit fishing.
And he says there's this mathematical probability that with so many lines in the water, if the whale behavior doesn't change, the entanglements will happen. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, he says there's nothing worse than entangling a whale. So when this all started a few years back, Meller joined something called the Whale Entanglement Working Group, a group of scientists and fishermen and policymakers trying to figure out solutions.
And so what are some of these solutions?
Well, one is investing in new technologies like ropeless gear that sits on the bottom of the ocean floor and only allows a line and buoy to come up when you send it some acoustic signal when you're over it. But those
technology.
Right. Those technologies are still in the very early stages and they don't always work. And most importantly, they're really expensive. But John Meller is pretty excited about a program within the working group called RAMP, short for Risk Assessment and Mitigation Program. Mm-hmm. He describes it as sort of like a hotshot fire team, but for the ocean. They're also making a gear retrieval program where fishermen will go out after the season is over and clean up all the lost gear and bring it back to the dock.
And so what if those solutions aren't really changing anything? What then?
Right. It's a possibility that this will only get worse and become the new norm with a changing climate. So Meller and the other fishermen think perhaps the new law and the settlement could be even more flexible to help them stay in business.
Okay. Well, did you ever meet up with Meller at the docks?
Yeah, I found him on his boat, waiting in line to unload his crab on the docks to a wholesaler.
Hi. Welcome back.
Thank you. You made it.
Yeah, I made it.
He told me the weather was horrendous out there, but they powered through.
Yeah, we pulled about 190 traps today.
So about 7,000 or so pounds of crab.
Wow.
His crew piled the crabs into metal buckets, clipped a bucket onto a winch, and workers hauled it off the boat. They dumped the crab into big containers filled with water, and then those were whisked away by forklifts.
That's quite a sight.
And Meller told me that after the last crab was off the boat, they would try to catch an hour or two of rest before motoring back out and doing it all over again.
Okay, thanks, Angela.
Thanks.
Angela Johnston is KELW's energy and environment reporter. You can reach her at environment@kelw.org.
Thank you.